morning. This is Lance Kenmore at the Kenmore team of Prudential Now Realty, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime, direct on my cell phone at 727-8977, or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how have you been?
Good. The deck is done, and now we're working on other stuff.
Okay, great. Now, I know last week I was on vacation, and I turned the show over to you and Scott. Did things blow up or fizzle? Oh, or
an unmitigated success.
Okay, very good. Well, as always, too, we do have our premier lending sponsor, Mr. Scott Ridgway. Scott, how did the show go? Did you, make me look bad? Or
Lance,
what?
You know what? You have this show set up so well that it was really tough to mess anything up. And John was awesome.
We had a lot of fun. I'm trying to look in my pocket thesaurus here for how you spell schmooze.
Very good. Well, I've actually had some feedback from people and that it was great, so I appreciate you filling in for me.
Absolutely.
And it's good to get some time away, but we're back cranking.
Did you have a good time?
Had a great time. We're doing some camping up in the mountains with the kids and cousins and family. So
recharging the batteries a little bit.
Recharging the batteries. And and there's still lots of business waiting for us when we got back, so we're pretty excited about that. We always like to start off with property in the news, some real estate news that we've seen in the news this week, what's been happening. This week's big story out of the Tri-City Herald is we did see that the Richland City Council is finally fed up with the vacant land there right as you come into town, right before Jackson's, where they had tore down that building and left that big hole out there.
So what's happening? What's going on with that?
Well, what happened is the development company apparently had gone out of business, but the bank was still keeping the underlying note. The city council went in, acquired the note, basically bought the note from the bank, acquired that, so that now that gives them the right to go ahead and foreclose on that note. So like it said in the article, they're either going to get the property back, which is primarily their end goal, so they can reset some development standards, fix it. Or if they don't get the property back, they're going to make a lot of money for the city by right. Getting that note paid up. About $750 was owed on it, and they bought it for $385. So even if it does get brought current, looks like the city's going to be in good shape.
At least it frees it up to get things moving forward with that piece of land again.
That's great. You're exactly right. And so, what they're looking for there, which has been difficult, on a national level financing-wise, is, they're looking for a mixed-use development that has retail space, has condos in the upper level, and some parking down there to access. So, the vision for the property is phenomenal. It's now finding a developer that can go ahead, and that's a big project up front, a lot of cost there in permitting. So now it's just a matter of finding a developer that can actually fulfill the vision, which they've obviously had a problem with so far. So we'll definitely be keeping an eye on that. And that was definitely our big news story as far as property this week. Somebody that's familiar with property issues and something that when I looked back shocked me that we hadn't really delved into on the show is we also have in the studio with us today Pat Doherty with Cascade Title and Escrow. Welcome, Pat.
All right. Thank you very much, Lance.
So I don't know how we had overlooked this for the last year that we had been doing the show, but a huge part.
And we rely on him so much.
All the time.
Probably because he's always working.
Yeah. You didn't want me in the limelight. That was
We love you, Pat.
We want to keep you hidden away working on our title issues.
Okay.
So thanks for coming in. Title and escrow is such a huge part of a real estate transaction, and I think sometimes not fully understood by the public. So I guess as we start out here and talk about title insurance in this show, before we do that, though, just so people know that I didn't just grab you off the street, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself so that we know you might have some knowledge about this subject. Give us a little background. How did you get into title? How long have you been doing this?
Well, I got into title in 1977, actually.
Fresh off the... You just started this.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, great.
I'm just starting to see some new things. And I had... I grew up on a cattle ranch in eastern Oregon outside of a little town called Pilot Rock. And so... I went to the big city of Walla Walla and started trying to sell real estate in Walla Walla, which made me go broke very quickly. And luckily, a friend of mine worked at the title company in Walla Walla at that time, called Walla Walla Title Company. And so he hired me at that point in time in 77 with the idea that I would get transferred to the Tri-Cities. And that sounded great to me. So we came over here in, gosh, it was August of 1977.
Wow.
And have been in the title business ever since then.
Wow. Well, that's fabulous. That is some experience that's definitely worthwhile. It's we love to have vendors, people on the show that have been in this community and know it well and doing that type of stuff for a long time. So thank you very much for coming on in. So I guess number one, I guess on a real basic level, I mean, I think we really need to start. People have different, you know, ideas about what it is and stuff, but what is title insurance? I mean, what is it? Why do we need it?
You hear so much about it, but yeah, what exactly is it?
Well, let me read this to you here a little bit, first of all. And then, of course, it still won't tell you anything, but then I'll explain after that.
Well, this is the government notes.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay,
that's
gotcha.
All right. And title insurance is an agreement to indemnify against damage or loss from a defect in title as evidenced by a policy of title insurance to a specific parcel of real property. Following a search and examination of public records and in exchange for a premium paid, title insurance companies will assume the risk that title to a parcel of real property is as stated to be in the policy of title insurance. All right, that basically told you nothing.
Real property, that's not like the title to your car. What's real property?
Well, correct. It has nothing to do with cars. Real property is in the form of usually a statutory warranty deed or a quitclaim deed from a seller to a buyer.
Okay.
Grantor, grantee, however you want to use it. And owner's title policy is kind of what I think most of you are familiar with to a certain degree. And, of course, Scott, being a lender, there's also a lender's policy with that. The owner's title policy, it's going to ensure the purchaser of a piece of property that their title is free and clear of any claims of anyone that might try to come back against their title. That could be an heir that wasn't properly notified out of an estate, or maybe the estate wasn't properly handled. Mm-hmm. Anything along those lines where someone could think that they could come and make a claim against that property at a later date.
Maybe it was used as collateral to buy something?
If it was used as collateral and that particular collateral hadn't been paid at the time of closing, yeah. Anyone that can come in and challenge the right to them to have free and clear title to that property.
So it's essentially something to protect a buyer, like in new construction, to make sure that there's no subcontractor liens or those types of things. It ensures that it's free and clear, ready to go. Nobody's coming back after you for anything.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And then if there is a claim or someone comes back and tries to attack their title, so to speak, then the insured, let's say the buyer of the property, will then come to us, and then they can make a claim on their policy saying, I have this error that says that they didn't get $20,000 out of this house when grandma died. So then we'll go in, if it's a valid claim, and then we'll defend that claim and, of course, include any attorney's fees that we would have to incur to make that happen.
So, I mean, not to say, I mean, being an agent in the business, I know that we always have, you know, we always suggest there be title insurance, and the lenders will require it at a point, but especially, maybe even more so in an estate sale then. I mean, where you really want to make sure that estate was liquidated properly, this is something that you're going to be pretty much concerned about.
Yes, exactly, because you have to make sure that in an estate, the people that are supposed to be appointed the executors of that estate and to be able to handle the affairs of the estate and sign to sell the property of the estate, yeah, we make sure of that by we go over to the courthouse and look at the probates and make sure it's all right.
So that was my next question was – I mean, it just kind of boggles the mind. I definitely think with computers and stuff, it's definitely become easier. But my next question is, maybe I'm being too basic about this, but how does all of this work? I mean, how is it possible that you can do that? I mean, you know, I've heard the terms plant and dates and stuff, but I don't, you know, how is all of this possible? What are you doing to ensure that? And how, I mean, how, give us a little snapshot of how that works. Okay. I mean, do you have, I mean, there's different title companies and people close at different places. I mean, do you possibly have a copy of every deed on every parcel in Tri-Cities? How does it work?
Well, and you're right. We do.
Oh, okay.
The answer is yes. Okay, next question.
The answer is yes. Moving
Let's
on.
Move on.
Okay. I'd like to see that file cabinet.
Wow. Right. I like that. Ooh. Well, and it does work that way. Each title company, everything that's recorded every day in Prosser and Kennewick, which is for Benton County, and everything that's recorded in Pasco at the courthouse, which is for Franklin County, everything that's recorded that day, we receive on a disk, or, you know, they just transfer it to us. But then what we have to do with that is we have to take a specific deed, for example, that affects Lot 1, Block 1, Kennewick Park Number 1. Well, we have a specific file that has to go into.
Okay.
And so probably 5-6 years ago, we went to all computers for that. But prior to that, it was all done by hand.
Oh, my gosh.
Like card file?
Wow.
Type?
Yeah, it was, wow. It was card file. I'll have to take you guys over someday into the office. We still have all those old files, and we have thousands and thousands of them.
Wow.
And in those files is everything that affected each specific property from day one.
So it's kind of like a chronology of every single plot of land. For example, if you look at the land that your house is on, there's a file for that from when it was purchased from the original owner until the developer came in, until they stuck a house on it, until owner A sold it to owner B. It's kind of like a timeline.
Exactly.
Legal timeline.
Right. It goes all the way back to the patent from the United States.
Wow.
And then because you have to trace the title up from that to make sure that the title's clear. And then, of course, there are other things that might be recorded against the property over the years, too, that you have to keep track of. So it's very important that it goes into the right file.
Yeah, no doubt, for sure.
Well, thus title insurance, because you're going back to make sure that somebody didn't put it in the wrong file.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Well, that truly is amazing. Now, one thing you touched on that I wanted to go back to, and I get this question as a real estate agent all the time, is when we have a transaction where we're selling a house, a lot of times there will be where the seller pays for a portion of title insurance. And then the buyer, though, is also having to buy title insurance, assuming that covers, you know, I know this because I'm in the business, but sure. Those are two different policies. Can you kind of explain the difference why in one transaction the seller's having to buy a policy and then the buyer's having to buy one also?
Sure. On the owner's policy, that's where the seller of the property normally pays for a title policy that will be issued to the new buyer.
Gotcha.
So if Scott is buying a house from you, Lance, then we issue an owner's title policy to Scott stating that this is the status of the title. Now, Scott's going to want to look at the title report, first of all, to make sure that, hey, maybe there's some covenants on there that he can't live with.
Right.
You know, maybe they don't let lenders live in the neighborhood or something like that.
And raise chickens.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And so there might be some items or some easements on the title that Scott doesn't like and doesn't want to accept as part of his purchase.
Gotcha.
But let's just say that everything on the title is good with Scott. And then he'll go ahead and we'll close the transaction and then we'll issue an owner's policy to him that insures Scott and his wife as to the title condition as it is in the policy.
I was able to properly give them clear title.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right.
So there's no hidden surprises.
Right. Right. Scott can go in there and he can look and say, okay, my house has covenants on it and there's an easement that runs along the back of my lot. I'm fine with those items. And as long as that's the only thing on the title,
gotcha.
Then And that's what the owner's policy will be.
And those easements are important to know in the event you're putting in fences or you want to put in a pool
or a shop.
Yeah, so that's real important information to have up front.
And those are things that are normally included when they send the documents over.
Yeah, there's going to be copies of those documents in your... Before we issue a policy, we start out with what's called a preliminary commitment. And what that is it gives the buyer the opportunity to look through the preliminary title report. Mm-hmm. This is before the closing takes place. And then Scott could read the covenants in there and anything else that might show up on the report. That's called a special exception. And what that means is if on that title policy we have special exceptions for easements and covenants, Scott couldn't make a claim on his title policy if there was a problem with the covenants or the easement.
Right, like you're saying, you told him about the easement, here's where it is, that you're going to have to live with this.
Right.
Okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. And that makes sense. Now, the policy that Scott is buying for his lender, different, what is that?
Well, that's called the lender's, it's an ALTA policy for the lender, and... The lender's main goal in that is to make sure that they're going to have a title policy that shows them in a first lien position.
Okay.
Or priority. They want to be, in case there's, lo and behold, I hope it never happens, but if there's a foreclosure of that particular property, then the lender wants to be able to make sure if they have to foreclose that they are the number one.
They're going to get the property.
So they're first in line to get paid in the event that the home is sold or foreclosed on.
Exactly.
And so there's first loans and second loans, first mortgage, second mortgage. So that's just simply stating who's in line first. So if they have a first mortgage and maybe like a home equity loan or home equity line, that would be in second position.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's all established by the recording priority. Because if you want, and that's why they want to be what you hear referred to as a first lien or a first deed of trust on the property, then that's the position that the lender wants to be in.
Fabulous. We have been talking with Pat Doherty of Cascade Title and Escrow. We're coming up against a hard break here, Pat, but real quick before the break, if people can't stay afterwards, how can they get a hold of you if someone has title questions or escrow questions and wants to come talk to you about that? What's the best way for people to get a hold of you over at Cascade?
They can certainly call us at 783-0660. I would almost prefer that they could email me also.
Great. Okay.
And that is pat@cascadetitlecompany.com.
Perfect.
Company's all spelled out.
Perfect. Sounds great. And you can go to kenmoreteam.com, shoot me an email, and I will get you in contact with any of the guests that we've had on the show. We will be right back after this break.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back. This is Lance Kenmore. We've been here talking about title insurance. Pat told me it was going to be boring and I would all be asleep, but so far it's been fascinating. I mean, kind of going back and looking at the chain of title, I mean, what an important part of the transaction, making sure that the people actually had the right to sell you the property and it's free and clear of liens. I mean, that is a huge, huge issue.
Not only the fact that he was briefly mentioning, too, that they get a lot of genealogists who come through. If you want to trace the history of a property, if it's a piece of significant land, you can go all the
way
back.
There it is.
It's kind of almost a historical thing.
It is very much a historical thing, for sure. Well, we are here. We have Mr. Scott Ridgway with Cobalt Mortgage. Scott, what is happening in lending this week, and what should we be thinking about?
Well, I'm completely warped from the show that I had to do last week.
So
I'm still kind of recouping from that. But, you know, the neat thing is, and what I'm learning here, is that I'm sitting here with two ex-farmers where business used to be done on a handshake. And if you really think through with what we're talking to Pat about titles and the genealogy and kind of where everything's come to, you know, this new financial reform bill that got signed off today was kind of an interesting finality to with all the regulatory stuff, all the compliance stuff that we're having to watch. It's just, Pat, if I could just say this on the air, it's really been great working with you for, gosh, it's been, what, 16 years?
Yeah, it's been a long time.
And your staff and your folks over there do such a great job. And people need to realize the difference between title and escrow because you guys do both of them. And just to answer your question real quick, Lance, the interest rates are holding in there real well. We had a little bit of a hiccup with the stock market rallying up a couple hundred points today because the stock market does not like uncertainty.
Right.
And so the stock market's been down, but now that some of this stuff's been finalized today, we're seeing a little bit of a blip up in the market. So what that's going to do is it may start pushing interest rates up just a little bit because of that rally in the stock market. So we're going to be watching for corrections and different changes and different reports that are coming out so we can best plan to get people into their refinances and tag those loans that we need to be locking in when those rates do dip back down. So those are some of the things that we're watching right now.
And I think, like what you said about refinance is huge. There was a couple appointments I was on last week where it made more sense for the folks to refinance because they had no idea where they were in a 6 or 6.5, and at the time that used to be really good.
Right.
If someone's in that position, you probably want to be talking to them about a refinance right now.
Boy, I never thought that if somebody was in the high fives on a 30-year fixed loan,
yeah,
that I would be ever calling them to refinance.
To refinance.
But and there's a lot of disclosure that needs to happen here because it depends on their loan-to-value,
definitely,
their product type, their credit score, their debt-to-income. So again, call me, Scott Ridgway, 737-6004, Cobalt Mortgage, so we can take a look at this. We'll do a free mortgage consultation for you to let you know what the numbers are. And yeah, you know, there, if you've got a good credit score and you've got a good debt to income and your loan to value is, let's say, 80% or less,
right,
there's a real good chance you're going to be in the mid fours, like 4.5%, maybe a little bit less depending on your credit score, on a 30-year fixed loan.
Yeah, it's truly, I mean,
that's
truly
that's
amazing.
That's 3/4
sure.
of a point below a 200-year moving average on interest rates.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous, and we've called rates ridiculous for a long time.
We have. We've been telling people this since December.
We're going to have to come up with a new word, maybe. Silly.
Yeah, we are going to have to come up with a new word for sure.
Yeah, so definitely give me a call. If there's anything that we can do to help, we certainly will. And if it doesn't make sense for you to refinance, we'll let you know that, and we'll tell you why. So we're just trying to help everybody out there get the best program.
Great. Well, definitely back to talking to Pat from Cascade Title and Escrow. A couple more questions about title insurance to clear up here, and maybe a couple of fun ones. But I guess the number one is that I have is, what is the most common claim you see against title insurance that you see happen in the office there?
Well, we've been in a pretty good building scenario here for a couple of years, and basically the most claims that we have are unrecorded mechanics liens. And what that means is if you've got a subcontractor that's gone out and worked on new construction and hasn't gotten paid, then in the state of Washington, the subcontractors, as soon as they go out onto the job site, that's when their lien priority is established.
Okay.
So a subcontractor could go out and work on a house, and the house closes 2 weeks later. He has 90 days in which he can file a lien. So there's been more than once where you've got a new property owner that just bought a brand new house and is living the dream, and they get a knock on the front door from subcontractor that hasn't gotten paid.
And then since he started the work, when he files that lien, his priority goes 2 weeks before the mortgage. So he's in position above the mortgage.
Exactly. If Scott had made the loan at Cobalt, and we insured him as a first lien position, well, now this subcontractor has jumped over Scott's position. So obviously we have an owner that's unhappy, and we have a lender that's unhappy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so then that's when you start investigating to see if it's a valid lien. And so
that is exactly why it makes more sense now. That is exactly why when we had an attorney on the show and we're talking with a builder, the attorney told us that it is kind of a pain. But the attorney told us that the new homeowner should get lien releases from all the subcontractors. And that must be why, because it might not show up, right?
Exactly.
And builders sometimes also sign an all bills paid affidavit that they can sign to ensure that all the bills have been paid on that property too, can't they?
We do have forms or lien waivers or indemnity agreements that the builder can give to us. Sometimes what happens is you might have a builder that's got four or five houses that are going up at the same time, and you know the old adage, rob Peter to pay Paul. He might get some proceeds from the sale of one house, and he doesn't use some of those to pay off some of those other liens, and then so therefore on other properties. And so and sometimes, you know, builders just go out of business, for example, and then we have to deal with
the fallout.
Yeah. I mean, we're very fortunate here in the Tri-Cities.
Yeah, we've had very little of that. But it has been here. We've talked about it on the show before. We've had a builder in.
Yeah.
And like I say, we've also had the attorney in to talk to us about those lien releases. So that makes a lot of sense now that you say that, and I remember them telling us.
All the different people, the electrical, the water, all those people, if they don't get paid, that could
be a mechanics lien.
They can file a mechanics lien. They have 90 days to do that after their last work was done. And so yeah, and that's why it's kind of scary. Like I was saying, people move into a new house and then find out that there are still some bills unpaid.
Hi, I'm Joe the plumber.
Yeah,
for sure. So then the title insurance makes sure that he gets taken care of and you don't get hit in the head with a club financially.
Well, and two, and that is another reason that we talked about dealing with a local builder. We've had Mr. Lapierre on the show before. Yeah. You know, you're with a family like Kyle and Dwayne who have been here for 40 years, there's a lot better chance that is not going to happen.
People that pay their bills on time up front.
Definitely. So the next question I had down here for you that we get all the time is, what is the difference between a standard and an extended title insurance policy, and when would you need an extended?
Well, we just passed on a perfect example as far as the liens are concerned. A standard title policy, owner's title policy, is not going to insure you against... these are unrecorded mechanics liens.
So you would have no way of even knowing about that.
These would be like out of the blue, people knocking and saying, they owe me.
Mm-hmm. Or they get a letter from the subcontractor that says, I wasn't paid $20,000 for whatever the work I did. And so the standard policy will not insure against unrecorded mechanics liens.
Okay.
The extended title policy will.
Okay.
And it's an additional 30% premium, but usually, I mean, you're not talking huge amounts of money for that, probably a couple hundred bucks.
Right.
Because most of the new construction these days, you know, they're a fairly high sales price. But even at that, at 30%, it's money well spent.
So if you were dealing with maybe a builder that you heard was going out of business, or they were building their last house and going back to Portland or Vancouver, you might want to consider an extended title policy just to make sure.
Absolutely.
Okay,
yeah.
Great.
Wow.
That's good advice and something we don't hear all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as we get closer to wrapping up on time, I didn't want to totally bypass the fact that that you guys do run an escrow department over there, which is totally a separate issue from title. But explain a little bit on an elementary level what your escrow department does and what role they play in everything.
Okay. Well, escrow, by definition, is a disinterested third party where we're going to hold funds in a trust account for the transaction to be part of the closing. And what I mean by that is if Lance brings in a purchase and sale agreement, he's going to have some earnest money, maybe $500, maybe $1,000. And so we hold that in our trust account. And it's not a pool of money that can be drawn from. The specific funds for that property, the only time we can touch them is if we're going to use it again for that specific property.
Gotcha.
So what we do is we'll take a purchase and sale agreement that Lance might bring in. Our escrow department will order the title report from our title department, so they need to see what's on the title for them to clear, because it's their job to clear the record. And so they have to go in there, order any payoffs for outstanding loans that are on there. For example, if there's recorded liens on the property, they get payoffs from those. So they go in there and basically try to clean everything off, so to speak, so that the only thing that's going to remain on the property or on the title is what the buyer wants it to be.
Gotcha.
So they work with both the sellers and the buyers to clear the title. And then they, of course, they make all the appointments. They have the people come in and sign the documents. And sometimes we, obviously, if there's most people these days, there's a loan involved to purchase the property. And then when Scott gets his loan package ready, then he'll bring that in to us. And then our closers will start making appointments for everyone to come in and sign.
Excellent.
So escrow is where people go to sign their loan documents, and then escrow, from your standpoint, is kind of the clearinghouse that takes care of dispersing all the monies to all the people they need to go to.
Exactly.
And making sure that the title is free and clear and completely yours.
Exactly.
It's a pretty integral part of the process.
Yeah, you know, it just took us, I got through half of the questions I brought, and it just took us 30 minutes to figure that out. So obviously Pat's going to be back in the future for the other half of our
real
questions.
Estate's a little more complicated than most people know.
I can tell you what I can do simply, though, is I can give you a pick three.
Hey, you know what? We made you proud last week. We actually had him without you even knowing it.
I know.
I was
very proud of our staff of helping you take care of that.
He wants a finder's fee.
Okay. No. Galen and Yvonne did a fantastic job.
Okay, good. Well, pick number one, the property to look out for this week. It's located in West Richland. It's on 5601 Kona Drive. Fantastic house. It's three bedrooms, two bath, just about 2,000 square feet. Vaulted ceilings, formal dining room, awesome floor plan with a great room. It's just a great neighborhood. It's up there by the Yokes in West Richland, so close to all the new development out there. And this house is priced at $215,000. Great backyard, fabulous floor plan. If you're looking at building and need an inexpensive lot, pick number two is definitely the one for you. This is out off of Red Mountain Road, past the old Tri-City Raceway out there. It's actually on Ridgecrest Loop. Beautiful setting. It's 1.5 acres. They've already drilled the well. And this is priced at $35,000.
Wow.
The guy, out-of-town owner, just said, Lance, I'm done with that property. I'm out of Tri-Cities. This is the last thing I have left there. Get rid of it.
That's out in wine country.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to be very close to wine country.
With a well.
1.5 acres. You're ready to go, for sure. So that is a great, great pick for pick two. Pick number three, a phenomenal place we've got over in Ivy Glades in Pasco. Five bedrooms, three baths, two-story home. It's 2,160 square feet, vaulted ceilings. You've got access to the walking path along the river out there. Fabulous, fabulous neighborhood, and you're getting all of this for $225,000. That's a 14 Jasmine Lane. So if you're in that price point from 200 to 225, we've got two great picks for you this week. Give me a call, and we'd love to get you through those properties. So we'd like to thank Pat Doherty from Cascade Title and Escrow for coming in. One more time, Pat, what's your contact info so folks can get a hold of you?
Phone number is 783-0660, and my email is pat@cascadetitlecompany.com.
Wonderful.
And thank you, Lance, and thank you, Scott. Myself and my staff really enjoy working with both you guys and your crew.
Well, very much, and we appreciate you coming in. And seriously, I did have four more questions, so we'll look ahead in a couple months and have you back and definitely need more than the 30 minutes we got today. For all your lending questions, Scott Ridgway, what's the best number to get to your office?
737-6004. Scott Ridgway, Cobalt Mortgage. Everything you'd expect from your experienced local lender.
As always, if you have any real estate questions, you can contact us on the web at kenmoreteam.com, and we will be back here again next week.
And remember the podcasting with News Talk 870.